Charles was a 40-year-old man, a serious, joyful, intense, surprising individual right up my street. He was single and a really godly, biblical example of singleness. I was a 25-year-old newly married man who had just started working for the church that Sharon and I attended in Newcastle. I was so thankful for Charles's friendship. He was a real encourager. When you're inexperienced with nothing to offer, any encouragement is welcome. I enjoyed talking with my friend. A couple of years later, Charles got engaged, surprisingly quickly, and married. He married a young single mum who was also a member of the church. And 12 months after that, he noticed that a spot, a mole on his leg, which had been there for as long as he could remember, had just started to change color. He went to the doctor, who sent him for some tests. The test came back as malignant, and Charles needed immediate surgery. Try what they may, there was no containing the spread of the cancer, and within a year, Charles died. I remember his funeral so well. 22 years later, I've been to a lot more funerals, not least because I've conducted a lot more of them. Since coming here, I've done almost 30. And I confess that in every funeral, this sense of this should not be, that I felt deeply at that funeral of Charles, this sense of loss, the sadness of life gone away, it's something that just hasn't just remained with me, it has increased over the years. And that is why I love Jesus. I love Jesus because he knows all about this, just as Sophie kind of reminded us earlier. He's told us that. We're about to hear it from John's gospel. Because Jesus is God, the one who made me, who sees right into my heart, he's the one who knows every thought, every feeling. He knows every word that's even before it's on my lips. He's that powerful and knowing. He's the most absolute, perfect, powerful, loving person conceivable. I know all that because Jesus has made himself known in history. You see, that's the other reason I love Jesus. He doesn't just know me from the outside as the all-powerful, knowing, loving God. He knows me from the inside. Jesus knows what it means to be human, to think and feel. He knows what weakness is, and tiredness, and sorrow. He knows what hunger, oppression, poverty is. Jesus knows what it's like to encounter death, which is exactly what we're going to see now, Jesus at a funeral. And this evening we're going to listen quickly as Jesus speaks with the relatives of someone who has died. First with one sister Martha, then with a second sister Mary, and then we're going to listen to Jesus speak to a deceased man called Lazarus. Have a look again at chapter 11, verse 1, at how the account opens. A man, Lazarus, was sick. He's from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord, wiped his feet with her hair. The sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Jesus knows this family well. There are other descriptions in the accounts of Jesus' interaction with them, with the gospel accounts. He loves this family. And now he discovers that Lazarus is unwell. And Jesus, did you notice, delays his arrival. Almost as if he's waiting for Lazarus to die. And in his waiting, he tells his disciples that the illness of Lazarus will not end in death, that God will be glorified in what is about to take place. In other words, we see more of God, learn more, experience more of who he is through trial and suffering. Lazarus does die, and then Jesus does go. Look at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Mary stayed at home. So Jesus finally turns up. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And as he approaches the funeral group, it's here that we encounter, firstly, Jesus speaking with Martha truth. Look at verse 21. Martha hears Jesus is near. She goes to him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. It's not quite a guilt trip or accusation from Martha, but it's pretty direct and filled with pain. Lord, where were you? Right at the most needy point in my life, you were nowhere to be seen. Did not the message get through? We were told that it did. But these are the words of someone who is still trusting in Jesus, that he's from God, that he's empowered by God. And Jesus now enlarges her understanding, her belief in him. Which is why at this funeral reception, surprisingly, Jesus pushes back. Look at verse 23. Remember, this is a funeral, right? This is a wake. Look at verse 23. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Jesus takes grieving Martha immediately to the reality of the resurrection. That death is not the end. He speaks words of truth to Martha. We sometimes need that in the midst of our pain. Truth. Verse 24. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Listen, this is nothing short of a debate now. Martha understands her theology. She has hope in the final resurrection. But that is hardly any comfort to her now, as her brother Lazarus lies dead in the tomb. She's grieving. But Jesus wants Martha to see that her heart is so consumed with grief that she has underestimated the person who is standing in front of her. Jesus wants Martha to grasp more of who he is and the difference that knowing him makes. Especially in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our trials, Jesus wants to lift up our faces and cause us to look at him. Verse 25, look at these words with me. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus wants Martha to see that he is the one right in front of her who has all power over life and death. And that for all who believe in him, death has absolutely no influence and no effect whatsoever. To our human ears, Jesus' language sounds contradictory, confusing. Will live even though die, will never die. And that is because our view of Jesus is too small and our love for him too shallow. Jesus wants Martha to see the truth of his divine being, to trust in his divine presence. He's teaching her right here, the funeral of her brother, to look to and trust in and wait on Jesus Christ, to rest in Jesus with all that she is. With all of her life, with all of her sorrow, with all of her pain, to rest in Jesus. When we realize this, that with Jesus we have everything, all that we ever need, when all our trust, our hope, our love rests in Jesus, this revolutionizes our world. It doesn't just make us confident in the face of death. When we die, we go to be with Jesus forever. That's true. Or that every believer awaits a glorious bodily resurrection in the new heavens and earth. That's true too. It revolutionizes our life in the here and now. One of the ways that we can demonstrate a hidden fear of death, for example, you fear death, is we can fear missing out in this life. What if I never experience that relationship, fulfill that longing, make that grade, realize that dream? But when we realize that Christ is our life, we discover that all things are ours and nothing do we lack, for I am his and he is mine forever. And his will for our lives is perfect and right. Brothers and sisters, the difference the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes to life now, to how we see our lives, to how we comprehend what Jesus is doing in our lives is Jesus wants all of us, because then we have all of him and in him we have everything. Did you hear that? Jesus wants all of us, right? Complete faith, trust, all that we are in him, because then we have all of him and in him we have everything. When Jesus meets Martha at the funeral tea, lost in grief, he wants her to see the truth of who he is in all his divine splendor, for her heart to be lifted up out of her sorrow to Christ and his life-giving power. Lift up your hearts unto the Lord. But listen now to Jesus speaking with Mary, love. Look at verse 28. Martha goes to Mary, tells her of Jesus' arrival. Mary quickly goes to Jesus, surrounded by comforters. I think she's heading to mourn at Lazarus' tomb. Look at verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Notice that these words are exactly the same as Martha's. Clearly they've been thinking this. They've been repeating these words to each other over and over. But notice that the response of Jesus to Mary is very different. Pastorally, that's interesting, isn't it? The different situations require different responses. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35. Jesus wept. If with Martha we see the divine nature of Jesus on display, here with Mary we see his human nature, as Grace was reminding us earlier. We see Jesus' love and compassion, his tenderness and gentleness. Jesus weeps with Mary. He's not some stoic, enduring pain without feeling. In his humanity, Jesus is able to sympathize with us. He knows our cries. He feels our tears. He knew what it was to suffer. Jesus weeps with us in our grief and pain, in our suffering, with all of his heart. The God of truth, the man of love. When we encounter the death of a loved one, when we are experiencing deep suffering, perhaps depression is gripping our heads and hearts so that it physically weighs us down, when a relationship is so fractured and broken that we're unable to eat, when we're fearful of the future, when we're confused about the future, our exams, employment, where we will live, Jesus knows. And Jesus tenderly loves. He knows all about your cares from the inside. What kind of God is there other than the Christian God, other than the one true living God, the one who is both sovereignly all-knowing and all-powerful, ruling and reigning, and yet close and tender, loving and knowing us right in the midst of our weakness and pain? What a Savior to love and trust in this Sunday Easter evening. No one else shepherds us and tenderly speaks truth and love to us like Jesus. Human counselors, pastors, they serve as best they can, but will ultimately fail. Don't put all your dependence on them. But Jesus perfectly speaks truth and love, upholding us, working through us life and godliness. This is who Jesus is, the God-man who entered into our world. And now we see what Jesus came to do. He's spoken with Martha and Mary. Now we see Jesus speaking with Lazarus, life. Martha, truth. Mary, love. Lazarus, life. Look at verse 38. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. This is the second time John has described Jesus as being, do you see in verse 38, deeply moved? It was there in verse 33, and translators have difficulty in conveying the sense of righteous anger that Jesus feels when he's confronted with the greatest enemy, death. Jesus arrives at the graveside like a roaring lion who meets death to do battle with it. He asks for the stone to be rolled away. And that causes confusion. Everyone knows it'll smell. Decomposition has begun. Again, Jesus calls those around him to trust in him. Look at verse 43 again. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus speaks to us, not just truth and love, and love, but life. Jesus speaks words of life. This is what Jesus came to do. We all want salvation from death. The world wants it. And Jesus is demonstrating here that he alone provides it because he alone has beaten it. Brothers and sisters, death is with us for a reason. We are embodied souls. We are spiritual beings. And the reason that our physical bodies die is because of the sin sickness of our souls. All of us, as we prayed earlier, have turned away from the God who made us. Live in the bodies he gave us. Live in the world he gave us in rebellion against him. And God's judgment on that is death. Death now and a second death in the future. A hell of separation from God forever. This is why we die. We've rejected God. We've turned from him. But Jesus enters into our decaying, death-gripped world to take on death and defeat it. And Jesus, the author of life, will do this by dying. We delight this Easter Sunday evening that the reason Lazarus comes out of the tomb is that Jesus went into a tomb. That's the high point of this little message. It's the high point of this Easter Sunday evening. The reason Lazarus comes out of a tomb is because Jesus went into a tomb. Jesus, the all-powerful Son of God, went willingly to death on a cross. And there, in infinite power, abolished sin and death and brought life and immortality for all who trust in him. When we think about defeating death, eternal life, we need proof that what or who we trust in has proved to have the power to defeat death, to beat it. And Jesus has done just that. Jesus alone has proved that by dying and rising from the dead 3 days later. And Jesus Christ alone speaks truth to our fears and love in the midst of our fears and promises us, friends, life. What a life-changing moment this is. And I don't just mean John chapter 11. I mean right now, right here. Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, you meet us with eternal, unshakable, solid truth that you are the resurrection and the life. That with Christ we have all that we will ever need in the midst of our fears, including the greatest fear of all, death itself. And yet our King also meets us with love, not just truth, but love, present with us, gentle, deep, caring, tender love that leads us along life's narrow way if we trust in him. Jesus is the hope of the nations. This resurrected Lord Jesus is the only hope of the nations. It's why we prayed for those unreached people groups earlier. Jesus is the only comfort for those who mourn. He is the source of heaven's hope on earth. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, that we rejoice in, that we delight in, that we sing in together.